Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
WrestleMe Mark!
Colin Just Me Pizza!
Colin Just, he's back! He's infected the second episode of WrestleMania 35 on the WrestleMe Network.
I don't warm to him. welcome back. We are doing WrestleMania 35. Yeah. Oh, gosh, we're running out, aren't we, Peter?
We are rather quickly. We're running out. Getting very, very close.
I think a lot of people are going, well, presumably they'll just like go straight back into Royal Rumble and stuff. No.
We made a promise.
I do think there's a way of us managing slightly to swing it that we get close to WrestleMania, but you know, to go. Mm. But I have a feeling that there's going to be some months between us finishing and the next WrestleMania. And I think then we just come back for a yearly thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but
that's fair.
We do it like WrestleMania, and each year it gets longer and longer
over a few days, yeah.
Until, nice. Like, one WrestleMania will take 2 years to go through.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That seems like the sensible thing to do.
We'll go down to fonts, and we'll do the history of the font that they used for a Snickers advert.
Yeah, talk to people who have seen WrestleMania as well. Just, you know, trying to get everyone who's seen WrestleMania, we will talk.
What was it like? It was just hot. Was it hot April in New York? Probably not.
Very clammy. We are starting the main show proper now. Mm. And what a thrilling opening.
Brock Lesnar, just toss him one off. Looking trim. He doesn't come on and toss one off.
Jesus Christ.
I'd like to see what comes out.
Oh, it would be just like tiny Brock Lesnar.
Just running around.
Lumps of muscle. It would look like chicken breast.
Just, yeah.
Tiny like baby Brocks. like fish Brocks. the opening credits, Pete. Wow. What a scene setter.
All the world's a stage, Mark.
Seth Rollins tells us, Shakespeare once said.
Once said.
All the world's a stage once said. I think I've overheard. He wrote it in a big book. But yeah. I've got to say, I love the serious big openings to WrestleMania. Mm. I love the mix of the high and the low culture. I know that's a really easy thing to sort of, you know, say, and a really sort of like Route 101 Guardian.
Yeah.
You know, but I like it when wrestling sort of goes, we are the tradition of that sort of Elizabethan drama,
yeah.
That we are about, you know, huge tragedy and about people attempting to climb mountains, and we're about monsters, and we're about cruel men, and we're about lies, and we're about daughters being asked to say which of their fathers they love. It's only Vince and Stephanie that angle applies to, you know, and we are about horrible mutants on islands. That's Brock. You know, yeah, there is a parallel. I'm surprised no one's sort of gone, how would you cast? I say I'm surprised. How would you cast, like, Shakespeare's Tempest with wrestlers? Mm. Which are the right ones?
Yeah.
And I say I'm surprised no one's done it. I'm not surprised. Who would do it?
Well, who's the audience, only the WWE in this WrestleMania show,
totally.
If they had the fucking stones to do it.
It does, yeah.
I remember sort of doing a presser in an unlovable Soho hotel with, who's the guy who was Gladiator?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe was Superman's dad in Superman a couple of goes ago. Mm. And I sat down with him, and to his immense credit, I was thinking... You know, he's saying goodbye to his son. It's all about losing someone, and you know, and sending them out in the world. And obviously, that's one of the major themes of the Tempest. And in my head, I was thinking, I'll sort of go, yeah, there's a certain Shakespearean sort of note to your character in this. And he went, which character? Which play? to his immense credit, he really fucking let me stew for about 20 seconds. I went, I couldn't remember the word tempest, Mark. I just went, Macbeth. Just absolute. And to again, to his credit, he didn't let me stew for much longer. Until he waited until I embarrassed myself at an efficient time. The thing is,
Shakespeare wrote a lot. So, I mean, anything that you say is Shakespearean. It can be, you know.
I should have said The Tempest. That's the thing that annoyed me.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. I mean, Beth is... Yeah, not the right one.
No.
Yeah, we are the storytellers, they say. WWE have inherited the mantle left by Shakespeare. Mm. It is now, this is what Shakespeare would be doing. I bet someone said that when they're putting this together.
Yes.
You know, if Shakespeare was still alive today, he'd be working at WWE.
I read some kind of, yeah, exactly. If I bet somebody at WWE said, I read a piece away from the liberal media, and they say that wrestling equals Shakespeare. So
absolutely that, and then Becky Lynch comes out, and they do a great sort of wrestling thing, which is go. The thing is, we need to make it clear to our audience that we're better than Shakespeare. And so Becky Lynch's line, she goes, "This is our stage, a worldwide stage." Like fuck you, Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You were just doing the London theatres, mate.
How many fucking plasma screens did The Miz break up?
Have you ever been to Alaska, William? Have you now? Because I have. That's a very... I will say, this is Becky Lynch WrestleMania. I am looking forward to doing that voice again and again and again. Every time I hear her speak... It catches me by surprise.
She's got a much deeper voice than I thought she would have.
And I remember she's got a deep voice. Yes. I go, oh, she's going to speak. She's got that funny deep voice. It comes out and I go, so much deeper than I remember. So much deeper. Astonishing stuff. Mm. The host of WrestleMania comes out after we see some helicopters flying over the top.
Mm.
This is a bit ominous, the helicopters.
It's what I don't like about it is that the a fly past, usually fucking tornadoes.
Yeah. You know what it is.
You know,
they've done it now.
Yeah. But the helicopter's gone too slow. It's like, is something going to come out of it? Are they going to drop things? Yeah. Is this part of it?
Have they booked this? Or is this... Are we just... Is it going to be like, suddenly the guns are going to come out and it's just like, we'll die in the stadium?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. And obviously later on, we'll come on to later on, the show's so fucking long. The helicopter pilots have the chance to land... In a not probably not that close airbase, and then travel in a fucking ATV to the actual MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, and I think it's the start of the second half.
Yeah,
so it's not even like we just made it. It's like we got there, and then they're like, "Oh, we had to sit through 3.5 hours of it." You know, absolute pain. Worth saying, you know, we do go through, and we always make sure that we credit everyone. Mm. The national anthem, I think it's actually "America the Beautiful," sung here by Yolanda Adams, 57 years old here. Nice to see that they haven't got someone who's 22. That's a sort of unusual booking for WWE.
Yeah, she's a little bit like the SNL cast members. She's like so well respected and like at the top of her tree. But she, Yolanda Adams, not really her household name.
No, not at all. She made her name by having a long running syndicated morning gospel show on American radio.
4 hours every morning.
Four hours. They have so much more niche culture. Yes. We think of it as going, we know America because you know we get the edited highlights of America. Yeah. We don't even get Saturday Night Live.
No,
but when you're Yolanda Adams and you sort of read that she does a 4-hour syndicated gospel show, you just go, you might as well say, you know, she walks, I don't know. She has to walk across a desert to get to her place of work, which is in a mill. None of it is like Britain. It's just weird.
Well, you sort of go to, like, the South and certainly, like, or just the Midwest, where everyone's, like, really, like, everyone is into country music.
Yeah.
And it's a very kind of, like, asinine kind of, like... basic bitch kind of like by numbers version approximation of what the forefathers of country music made.
Yeah.
And it's such an industry and such a kind of like cookie cutter kind of industry. And and it's not heard anywhere.
No, I'm quite obsessed though by those little pockets of people. You see a lot of them at boot sales of those people who will wear bootlace ties and they've got the little studs on their collars. And you know,
maybe a Stetson if they're feeling.
And they are really into that sort of like weak country. Always the husband and the wife. It's never just one. It's something you both have to do together, or you can't do at all.
Yeah,
very strange. We get, of course, our host of WrestleMania, Alexa Bliss, coming out for one of her two appearances. That's not hosting.
That's not, that really isn't.
Are you hosting a party? Yes, I am. Am I going to see you more than twice? No, you will not. I will be around for a combined total of 2 minutes. out she comes. Welcome to WrestleMania, she says. Really, you know, wow. A lot of thought got into this. I do sort of not quite understand why you wouldn't make this someone who wasn't just a member of the roster.
Right, yeah,
it seems like you make that someone who is a legend, or you make it someone who is outside the business.
Well, for
and it's
me,
special.
For me, I sort of look at it and say, oh, she's either injured or she, like, because you would assume that at some point she would have been involved in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because she does so little as the host.
She does so little. Way. And, you know, I think yeah, she's not like a Rock. You know,
no.
She's a very, very charismatic young woman, but she is not the Rock.
No.
And so when you're coming out hosting WrestleMania, you've got to be fairly big. I think she's also at that point where she's a performer who is very much a contracted member of talent.
Mm.
And so you aren't going to be going, I'll do this my way. I think she's going, I will do what I'm told to do.
Yeah.
And that really comes across.
And I guess, like, they've spent a lot of money on that screen, and they want to make that screen look as big as possible.
That screen's amazing.
So she is quite small.
She is.
She's got a tiny little nose as well.
She
does. And that makes the screen look even bigger.
It does.
So I just think that it's just one of those things where she makes the screen look unbelievably large.
That is true. That is true. She is also, you know, a very beautiful woman. There is a slight thing of just, you know, in the Vince McMahon world, this is sort of going, what could be a better host than a beautiful woman? You know? She clicks her fingers.
Some pearls on her.
She clicks her fingers, and out comes Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. As you go, I've got WrestleMania moments coming up my wazoo or whatever. She goes, click, I'm gonna make a WrestleMania moment. Yeah, well, I mean, watching Crown Jewels and then watching this, like, right after. I mean, I presume this, so the show Crown Jewels was happening a little while ago, and there was
about 5 months apart. The reality is, this is Hogan's first return to the North American, you know, WWF.
Yeah.
So this is the point of going, he is back.
Mm.
Now, I had forgotten this had happened, because every time I've seen him over the last 3 years, they seem to be like, we finally brought him back.
Yeah.
And you're like, why do you keep finally bringing him back? You've brought him back, then carry on with it. You can't just sort of keep going, he's out and he served his time. But hang on, he's been out three more times.
Yes.
I remember now.
Yeah.
Out he comes. He doesn't get booed, which he will do after this, really, when he comes back.
Mm.
But this one, they're really pleased to see him.
Right.
They are like, oh, great, he's back. Oh, good, we can all forget about that now. And Hogan comes out and he does his gag, which stems from, I think, WrestleMania 30, where he got the name of the Superdome wrong and called it the Silverdome. And so he comes out here. This is, what, 6 years later? And you do follow the continuity of it. And he comes out and he says, it's great to be back here at the Silverdome. And they go, ha ha. And he goes, no, of course not. I'm joking. It's great to be here at the MetLife Arena. It's not the MetLife Arena. It's the MetLife Stadium. And that in itself, I go, if you scripted that to be wrong, it's fucking phenomenal. Really good, really well done. Of course it wasn't. And there's the two of them pose, pointing. Alexa Bliss, again, making sure she's really sort of like Hogan, just going, right, wait for him to do it.
Yeah.
And everything. You're the host, Alexa.
Yes.
Take control. Put your guests at ease. Suddenly, Paul Heyman just storms past them and he goes straight down to the ring. And neither Hogan nor Alexa Bliss had any idea that was going to happen.
Oh, really?
No, not at all. It wasn't decided until the two of them were on stage that Lesnar and Rollins would be the first match. There was a lot of back and forth about whether they would go on early on thing. Never really been done before where they'd gone, let's get the big, you know, the big boy out first.
Right.
But I think there was a sense of Lesnar saying, if I'm not the main event, I'm not hanging around here all night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a definite, like, I'm on a plane back to my farm kind of job.
So they just get Lesnar. He goes, right, well, let's get the show on the road. Out he goes. And it's brilliant. It's a really good sort of, a lot of the stuff in WWE, certainly in this WrestleMania, is a bit disjointed. So the things come to a sort of end and then they cut to an advert and then you're back in the ring.
Mm.
And so to actually sort of have a through line where Heyman is like joining together the opening to the opening match, so simple but so effective. Mm. It's good as well. Hogan immediately looks at him and he's like going, that guy, like that. And I sort of like the fact that Hogan is unflappable and he's just putting it into an angle immediately.
Yeah.
You know? I think, you know, a proper pro. Unacceptable views, but a proper pro. And it gives a lot of energy to the opening, you know. Mm. And Paul Heyman does make sense of it. He says, if we're not on last on the mic, he said, we're not hanging around all night. He said, as soon as we've done this, we're going to get a jet to Las Vegas. He says, where my client is ultimately appreciated. So let's get this nonsense over with.
What was the story about, like, Vegas? Why were they going to Vegas?
UFC.
Oh, I see, right.
Brock Lesnar's contracts always come up around about WrestleMania. They either end the day before WrestleMania or the day after WrestleMania.
Smart.
So everyone is usually aware that Lesnar, when he gets to the end of a contract, he goes, I'm going back to UFC.
Yeah.
And WWE will go, can we give you four times as much? And he goes, oh, God, all right, whatever. And then they pay him. So what they're playing at there is really trying to get that thing of going, Brock doesn't really want to do this. He wants to do something else.
Mm.
And that was the only way they could try and get people to be popular against Brock Lesnar, who everybody just adores because he's frightening and horrible. It's just unlike anybody else. Out comes Seth Rollins. This is, you know, he got a big opening video with the CGI swords. Mm. And he's now called the Beast Slayer. Did you notice anything funny about this?
Oh, no, I don't know. What?
So as he comes out, he suddenly sort of goes a bit weird. And he begins, like, smiling, and then he starts limping and hopping.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck's gone on there? I found a really good interview with him. He literally was so excited that he almost passed out when he came out. So he said, I was so amped up, so fired up for that match for Brock Lesnar, that I legitimately almost passed out on my entrance. No joke, I don't know if you can catch it. There's a moment where I'm drifting kind of back to the centre of the ramp and I've glossed over. Because when you get so fired up, it's that feeling like you've been lying down or sitting down too long and you stand up and you get lightheaded. That was a moment right there. I didn't know if it was going to happen. They were going to have to drag me off the stage. Wouldn't that have been a great opening to WrestleMania? And it's really funny. You see it and he's just like, oh, shut down. I've had a massive short circuit. And it's just brilliant.
Oh, brilliant.
He smiles just going, oh, this all gone really wrong. Just amazing. I've never seen anyone come out and just go, I'm so excited I've shut down. So good. Lesnar at this point is working a style where he just demolishes people.
Yeah.
He's just having good fun.
He's looking very trim, like for Brock, who can sometimes look not very... Well, he always looks very trim, but when I mean trim, he means bulbous.
Yes. This is all part of his negotiation where he will go, I'm going to do a UFC-style camp from February onwards.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, he's going back. Oh, he's going back. That's what he does. What they have is, you know, they've set up the Lesnar sort of matches over the last couple of years, which is he just demolishes you and then he pins you. And that's how it works. And so when Seth Rollins finally hits him in the nuts with a nut shot, the crowd go loopy. They're just like, is this going to not just be Brock Lesnar pinning him? And it's a proper good reaction. Brock Lesnar is a one that people don't really enjoy the matches of. And I think there is a funny thing about watching them after you know the result. You do sort of go, this is a bit pointless. But they set up very cleverly over the 2 years. This is a different style of match. And either this person will be destroyed or they will manage to get one lucky move in and they will win.
Mm.
And you do not know which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
And when you don't know the result, these matches are all so exciting. They just have Seth Rollins then do three curb stomps and he pins him and it is over. They're not great works of art, these matches, but what they are is the sort of pure distillation of the excitement of knowing who's going to win a wrestling match.
Brock sells the stomps quite nicely and it's a really nice hot start of the show, really.
It's good.
So it's only ruined by a man holding up a big baby mask, like a mask of a big baby.
Pictures of their kids.
What's that about?
People, there's one bloke right
bring
at the start.
Kids. If you bring your kids,
he has
to get that bothered.
Four of them, like all his kids. And I can't tell if it's all his kids or he's got two kids and it's twice.
Right, okay,
which is even more unacceptable. But he holds them up. Do you know what? I have a real problem with that. Is you're going, this is about me.
Mm.
And I have a thing
I hear all that stuff.
An audience, they have a responsibility. If you go to WrestleMania, you have a responsibility to enhance the product.
Yeah.
You do that by cheering, clapping, holding up signs relating to what is going on in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd have been holding up four signs that said, Jinder Mahal number one, I would go, probably not the right time, but look at that fan, right? And you are there to enhance the WrestleMania thing. You are there in your capacity as a fan. You are not there as a fucking deadbeat dad.
It's like there's a lot of people who go to Central London protests just doing funny signs.
Yeah.
And I just get the feeling that it's, you know, I've written down something from Alan Partridge. I hope someone tweets this picture. There's a bit of me that goes, there's something there where I feel a little bit weirded out by it. That's all.
Yeah.
A little bit too cute.
It is. It's also, what am I supposed to do? So I've seen you. I've seen a big photo of your kids.
Mm.
You happy? Is that what you want?
I know. They look too young to know what's going
Completely.
On.
Completely. And do you know what? Those kids now, 3 years on, they're not interested. He goes, come and have a look at that. I'm not watching it. No, I don't care. I know the photo, so it's on TV.
It's
great.
Predetermined,
we're
Dad.
All on
Get
TV now, Dad. have you heard of TikTok, Dad? You know.
Loser.
Anyway, I'm going to have to hang up because Mum's new husband's coming home now and we love him. Goodbye. I hope that's what he wanted when he took those pictures of his kids. I hope he wanted two horrible men in a podcast sitting there talking about why it was the wrong decision and how I imagine his kids hated. It's a lovely bit of the end as well. They have an unusual shot where Lesnar is coming back, which you don't normally sort of see those sorts of things where they're coming back from the ring in WWE. They like to move on. But there's just a bloke who basically sort of pats from the audience. He pats Lesnar on the back. He doesn't like whack him.
Yeah.
He is going, commiserations, big man, great performance. And he just goes pat. And Lesnar, the second it touches him, it's just like you've touched a bear. He just turns. And it's just like he is like, my first response is, if you are a threat or too close, you die. That is even the happy slap, you know. Oh, frightening. The second match is AJ Styles versus Randy Orton.
Mm, bit of Jerry Lawler in there as well.
Funny choice
up.
To bring out for this match.
I mean, it doesn't. I don't think they have much of a relationship, Orton, Lawler, Styles and Lawler. Like,
I mean, where's Lawler going to get in the material about, like, stalking women or the times where he's hidden in rooms to see them naked? How's he going to get that in?
With his new black hair.
Yeah.
Nobody in WWE ever has grey hair. No. Apart from the people who had grey hair back in, like,
It will be seen as weakness. It will be seen that you have lost a battle to your hair. There is a great little thing that I'd popped it in last month's newsletter on the Patreon. Mm. But Stephanie was talking about some of the strange things that Vince McMahon has. My favourite Vince McMahon story is that he wouldn't grow a beard. He keeps very, very clean shaven. And people had said, why don't you grow a beard? He said, because I will not let it beat me. And he cannot control the beard. The idea that, you know, he would look at people with, like, grey hair and he's just like, you have let your hair control you. You know, how dare you not have the inner cojones to be able to dominate that hair? Corey Graves says, you know, Styles has proved he belongs here. Styles has now been WWE for 3 years.
Yeah.
And there is still this internal thing within the company that he is a spy from a rival organisation. And that he's like, well, you know, I work here now. And they obviously got that thing of going, that's fine, but you didn't used to work here.
We're not going to give you security clearance.
I mean, what's all that about?
You're on the outer ring of the outdoor kind of setup. Yeah. You're not allowed in
AJ,
the
AJ, saw you just having a chat with one of the wrestlers there. Can I ask what you're talking about? Yeah, I was just asking him where the dressing rooms are. Well, you don't need to know that, do you? You can get dressed here. Just really odd that they see him as the ultimate outsider.
Some more augmented reality. They're sort of getting the heads around it a little bit.
Yeah.
A little cleaner.
Yeah.
A little bit more. There's more textures involved
on
the actual 3D models themselves.
And
it's getting there.
This one is actually, I think, much better than all the other years, which will then follow it.
Mm.
So they just have the sort of the two bodies appear in a sort of, it's like a crown shape above the ring.
Mm.
I mean, WrestleMania's after this, the CGI is noticeably worse.
Right.
This one does seem to work. It's quite basic but decent.
Yeah.
And that's a good description of this match, really. It's decent. Mm. It's good, but it's not great.
A lot of like good guys winning in these sort of matches, it seems.
Yeah, a slight, pointing towards that WrestleMania being about moments rather than any sort of long-term booking or even making particular sense. Beforehand, Mark Henry had said that this should have been the main event. There was a real groundswell of people going, Randy Orton has really come into his own. This is really the point where people begin going, he's one of the best in the business.
Mm.
And certainly from a longevity period, yes, he is. Is he the most exciting one that you'd want to watch all the matches of? I'm not going to answer that. But, you know, just thank God Mark Henry wasn't in charge. This would have been the main event. Mark Henry knew what the main event was when he was talking about that, and he still said, probably should be Randy Orton versus AJ Styles. The history with the women of the Randy Orton.
I would rather be in a, not connected to the women, but rather be in a strip club eating, which is what he does.
I would love to be watching this match as the main event in a strip club where I was eating a steak.
And not drinking.
In the dark.
In the dark during the day.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A large section of the crowd actually missed most of this match because they had a problem with the lighting,
right,
whereby a huge yellow light that looked like the sun was just shined at a quarter of the people in the stadium.
Oh, no.
And they missed most of it. There is a bit suddenly where the audience just cheer. And Andy Orton sort of looks around and doesn't quite know what it is. And he looks a bit pissed off, like, what are you people finding amusing? And then they begin chanting, yes, yes, yes. That was because the light had been turned off.
So we're just absolutely getting cooked.
Dazzled.
By this big
there's
hot
a
light.
Picture. There's a picture on Twitter that someone had taken where it is just like the arena, they've put the sun in the ring and it's just like firing out. And Randy Orton tweeted as well. He said, I'd like to apologise on behalf of WWE for screwing up and shining a bright light in your eyes for 95% of my match. You missed a really great fucking match.
I like the fact that sometimes, like, because he's sort of turned a corner.
He has.
With his unbelievable liberal wokeness, which I cannot stand or fathom. He's sort of turned a corner, but he's also kind of understanding his importance within the WWE. And he's almost, because Cena's kind of outside of it now. Mm. He sort of feels like he's got the responsibility.
Yep.
But he can't help but swear and be rude.
I think it is because he does have a reputation of being boring,
right?
And I think if you hear that and you go, I'm not actually boring, I'm a right fucking laugh, I think there is one way that you can get it across, and that's through social media.
Yeah.
And so he does do this sort of slightly unfiltered things, which again, if you knew him, I'm sure you'd go, that's what he's like in real life. He's a great laugh.
Yeah.
But until this point, everyone's like, the thing about Randy Orton is he's just like, you know, what is he? He's just miserable. He's just like boring. He's dull. He's got no personality. He's bland. And the reality is, you see, just, oddly, Twitter will come up in the main event about the importance of social media at this point. It begins to, you know, change people's perceptions of the stars that they've previously been kept well away from.
Right.
My favourite part, this for me next, is the greatest part of this entire WrestleMania.
Mm.
Lacey Evans is a performer who'd come up from NXT. Mm. She is the sexy Southern Belle. They say, please welcome Lacey Evans. And she comes out and she walks around a bit, doing that 1940s sassy Southern Belle.
Yeah.
Well, gracious, I do declare. Mm. She walks around and I don't find that sexy. I find it unnerving.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of the Golden Girls and it's all, you know, just a bit horrible. And she walks around.
Makes me think of the film Maverick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. Or like things that Dolly Parton was in when I was a kid,
yeah,
and she'd be being sexy, and I'd be like, but isn't she about 70? And it's all, like, flimsy and, I'm wearing my flimsies.
Oh, Pollyanna, you really are the worst.
Why? I must get myself some ice lemon because my temperature is... Oh, God, everybody stop doing this. She comes out, she does that, And then she goes.
What? Yeah, what was this about? What's
what
the thing?
Fuck is this?
But I Googled her because I didn't know who the fuck she was, why the fuck she was there. And she's always doing this.
Yeah.
Business.
Yeah.
What is that? All she's
I have no idea where they put her on WrestleMania. And made her just sort of go do a sort of cakewalk.
It's a WrestleMania moment.
Go what we used Boys. To call a monkey walk. Which is, a monkey walk is when you walk down a high street to sort of show off to the girls and you walk back to see if any are interested. And it's a bit like they sort of go, Lacey Evans, get out there and do a monkey walk. She goes, I'll do my monkey walk, yeah.
I'll do it for the boys.
Oh, I'm going to do it for all the brave troops paint who are fighting on Iwo Jima.
Paint this on Saturday. Fucking Spitfire, whatever the fuck it is.
I do not believe in the abolishment of segregation. And they're going too far. Reel it back in. Reel it back in. What's wrong with having two drinking fountains? No.
What are we going to do with the extra drinking fountain here?
What do find they that do weirdly with those? Sexy. I'd like my own drinking fountain. Yum. Oh, that would be wonderful. We no then go.
No one's, you wouldn't let us near it, so you didn't clean it. Now you've got botulism.
I mean, I do sometimes look back at that and the people are like segregated drinking fountains and I'm like, disgusting, disgraceful. I mean, we don't have any now. I mean, is
was a step too far?
Better?
What was like the start of the end? Thin end of the end?
Yeah, isn't it? We're not going to segregate drinking fountains. Oh, right, we've got none now. This is crazy. We used to have two.
Well, look, you don't need them now because you can get a WWE fucking drinking flask. A thing they keep reminding us about. This show is quite good in parts, but other parts is just them hot and t-shirts.
Yeah.
All of the time. In some pretty touching moments as well.
Mm.
It's awful.
Terrible.
QVC.
Do you know what? I noticed the other day and it made me cross. This is exactly the sort of thing when we change our modus operandi and we become a non-woke podcast, which is where the money is.
More drinking fountains.
I did notice the other day something that does annoy me, and that's that young people do carry their own water around.
Yes.
And I look at it and I sort of go, aren't you well prepared?
But then they drink it and then they spend... mainly before a podcast, I've been ready for 10 minutes. They have to fill it up. I must have hydration for 40 minutes. I must have the hydration ready for 40 minutes or else I will desiccate. I'll be like an old coconut.
It's mad. If I see a kid with one, I just go, you're no fun. You are no fun. A bloke got off the tube in front of me the other day and he had one in there and I actually sort of found myself... I had to suppress the loathing I felt for him. Oh, someone needs his water, does he?
But they're constantly... I'm trying to think... John Robbins and Ellis James. Ellis James on a Five Live show that I'm very fond of. He expressed something... I expressed it on a podcast and then he expressed something...
He definitely does not need to get any mic shine
and he would never have heard it. But he... did a thing about in the 80s and 90s, like the prize was a glass of water.
Yeah.
Like you'd occasionally, after months and months at school, they would give you a glass of water.
Yeah.
That was the prize.
True.
But now, like it is. It's like the core of human rights. You have to have
water at all times.
Water at all times.
Water at all times.
And and like we said about the drinking fountain, there have never been fewer public toilets. So people must be constantly just like needing the piss all of the time.
But why don't you see more piss?
No, I know.
That's the thing I don't get.
Yeah,
there's a whole generation.
Well, they're probably so hydrated you can't see it as piss. It's just probably just more water. too much water.
This is exactly what we should be doing on like LBC Times Radio. It's all that, isn't it? It's talking
too much
these
water.
Hipsters.
And we've got to process... Our tax dollars have to process all that water to put in your Nalgene bottle.
And what about oat milk? how do you milk an oat?
I know!
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Barista edition oat milk?
Yeah.
What's that? Is it just thicker? Yes, it is.
You can now go direct to a barista. Barrister, there'll be some legal thing that we're doing there. It's funny. Let's go.
Stop drinking water.
Match, Pete.
Yes.
Out of 16. This is SmackDown Tag Team Champions Jimmy and Jay, the Usos, versus The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus, versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev, teamed together, of course, because they're both foreign, versus Ricochet and Aleister Black.
Mm.
The fact that this is going to be the biggest WrestleMania that Ricochet is ever a part of is a fucking dereliction of duty.
Well, it must be like he must be so happy that he's made the step up from our Christmas feature WrestleMemus.
Yeah,
because it's the first time we'll sort of see him.
It is.
Sort of
do you remember when
thing?
We saw him in WrestleMemus? We saw him wrestle Will Ospreay.
Yes,
in New Japan's
and
Best
he was
of the Super Juniors.
The best. They were both the best.
Era defining. era defining. I would say this is 3 years later.
Right. He is
now in a mixed tag match. Mm. He is having to, they've told him to go out there and look like, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
This guy's wrestling the Tokyo Dome. You know, he has to go out there and go,
this is my WrestleMania moment.
You cannot believe you're here because you do not deserve to be. You don't deserve to be. And he comes out and everything just sort of goes perfectly for him in this match. It goes very, very well.
Yeah.
There's one bit, I think, which is one part goes wrong, which is they do a big, what's called a Tower of Doom spot. People are on the turnbuckle. Mm. Some other people come to do a superplex. Some other people get underneath them to help it along. And everyone goes over in one big schmear.
Yeah.
And the idea is, I think, that Ricochet, who is in the top position on that, was supposed to be catapulted, somersault, land on his feet, and then attack.
Yeah.
And it's so high and it goes so fast that he instead lands on his feet and has to do a forward roll into the turnbuckle to hold himself up. And it looks fine. It's not a fuck up.
Mm.
But I get the feeling that Vince McMahon was like, you do that flip and land on your feet. And I get the feeling that he didn't. And Vince McMahon is like, why have we even got this guy here? If he comes off the top and I tell him to land on his feet, he can't even do that. And he does a little roll and then he's lying in the thing. It doesn't look as good. This is a bullshit.
Well, what I like about it is that like the perennially forgotten Cesaro, who I love, gets to do a couple of spots with Ricochet.
Oh, and
like,
and that those, giant swing.
And because Cesaro can work with anyone, and he is really fucking good.
Yeah.
I would rather watch a Ricochet-Cesaro fight
100%.
Any fucking time.
100%.
And Cesaro does that spin. What's it got? What is that
giant
called?
Spin,
giant
yeah.
spin. And he does it forever. And that's the gag. Everyone's keeps fighting while he keeps the spin.
On going.
And he curdles that guy's fucking brain.
Ricochet, the most impressive thing he does in that whole thing is survive that giant screen. Which is so, so long. This is eight people that, again, if you took them out of being in this big sort of everybody come together.
Yeah,
You could put that on as a wrestling show and you would sell 2,000 tickets. Our main event is Shinsuke Nakamura versus Ricochet, say.
Yeah.
Or Shinsuke Nakamura versus Aleister Black.
Mm.
Or Shinsuke Nakamura versus Cesaro, or any combination thereof. You have got main events, but everyone's stuck together. It's the first time we've seen Aleister Black as well.
Yes,
who has
a name like a managing director, but his actual name is Tom Budgen.
It is.
So he's chosen another fucking boring name.
Yeah,
Aleister Black.
He was originally as a performer, he was known as Tommy End.
Right.
He is a Dutch boy.
Mm.
He's basically
he's a Dutch boy.
Whenever
I hear like Dutch boy, it just sounds like a racist pub. Well, we changed the name, the Dutch boy. We changed the name.
What happened is, I think in the early 90s, The Undertaker was part of the WWF tour in Holland.
Right.
He impregnated a Dutch girl who wore clogs and had one of those white sort of hat wimple things on.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then she gave birth to a spooky boy. His name was Aleister Black. He is a sort of big indie star, signed over to NXT, where he was a sensation.
Mm.
There's always been the slight thing that Vince McMahon thinks he is a bit like Cesaro. There is something lacking in his presentation.
Right.
He also thinks that the gimmick is a bit limiting.
Mm.
Being a satanic kickboxer is the least limiting gimmick of all time. It's just thrilling. And the two of them are very, very good in here. It's a good match.
Yeah.
Unmemorable in a lot of ways. But
just,
with the caliber of people in it, it couldn't fail to be at least decent.
No, exactly. And and Sheamus is there. He always looks, the older he gets, he's starting to look quite tired. And I can only think that it's because his hair is so spiky that it's quite uncomfortable to sleep.
Yeah.
He must have to wash it before he goes to sleep.
Can you,
it's so
but
crunchy.
Can you imagine when he's washed it? And it's just a horrible sort of greasy, long whip.
It would be
of
like
hair.
It would be like a little My Little Pony guy, wouldn't
he'd
it?
Look so ridiculous. He looks so ridiculous. I would like him to have more matches that are long and they sweat, just so that goes into one great big long whip of disgustingness. Repulsive. We then go to our Hall of Fame. This year, Harlem Heat, Stevie Ray and Booker T, who are real life brothers, they go in.
Really?
A tag team.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
How big is that man's face?
Not a beefcake.
It's just been,
used to be beefcake, now consuming beefcake, now looking like human beefcake.
Yeah, I mean, because I think him and the Honky Tonk Man kind of look the same. The kind of looks saying that, like, they did back in the day, but Rusev, I think, has got a big face. Honky Tonk Man, he gets put in.
He looks incredible.
And he looks the same.
He's
wearing
one of his old suits from the mid-80s.
And he looks the same, because he was always a bit of a chunker, wasn't he?
He was. And I there's a part of me that goes, either he is like, he's sort of a polarising figure. Mm. He's a big-mouthed Honky Tonk Man. He's had nothing but bad things to say about people. And I think there is a slight thing of him going, if I go back looking fat, they're going to absolutely rip the shit out of me.
Yeah.
So I have to go back looking incredible. And that will at least be, then they can't, like, get me on that.
And also an Elvis get-up is, we've seen fat Elvis. That's kind of part of it, isn't it? Big fat Elvis.
But yeah, he looks unbelievable. Mm. Tori Wilson is inducted as well by Stacey Keibler, both of whom also look incredible.
Yeah.
She obviously does a speech, you know, which is you know, long and thanking people and talking about what a wonderful time. They do boil it down in this highlight package to just going, so many of you obviously said I was very important during your puberty.
Yeah.
And she goes, wanking. She doesn't do that. She might as well have done.
Cheers.
Teenage boys wank.
Teenage boys, cheers.
They give the Warrior Award to Sue Aitchison. Teenage boys. who helps teenage boys get Make-A-Wish Foundation's grant.
And girls.
She works with the WWE on their charity wing.
Yes.
They do, when they bring her out, they kind of go, and please welcome John Cena's 600 Make-A-Wish, Mason Laporte. It's a bit like, don't boil them down to numbers. What are we doing today? 598. We've got 598. Who's 598? Come forward. Shake hands. Right. 599.
Can he walk? 600. Let's get 600 out. Thank you.
Yeah, does have a feel of that.
He's gone back to...
Cena's 600. I'm more than John Cena's 600 Make-A-Wish, mate. I'm Mason the fucking port. I've got my own shit going on. You know, weird. The Hart Foundation go in.
Yeah, is this the show where Brett got tackled?
This is.
Right,
yes,
okay.
He gets sort of barged out of the way by an imbecile.
Such a weird
and violence then ensues. What you notice in this little clip, because they don't show any of that, obviously they're not going to be proud of that pending court case.
Yeah.
But Brett Hart has got a big wisp of hair has come loose in the sort of kerfuffle.
Mm.
And he does his speech with that, and it makes him look a bit bonkers. And you sort of almost need to set that into context. You need to go a little disclaimer at the bottom that says hair not because of Bret Hart, hair due to external circumstances, bracket security related. You just need something that keeps
I sent to the Men of Honor group that we're involved in just a clip of Scott Hall kicking, punching every, like, there seemed to be a lot of, like, NWO era kind of people running in the ring.
Yeah.
And he got a good old shot on every last fucking one of them.
There was a period, certainly, between the sort of, it's an odd period, but from like 99 to 2003.
Yeah. People
thought. A lot of ring invasion,
and people thought that the only punching you would get would be seen by cameras.
Yeah.
Of course not. Or like, guys.
Or that they'd have to, like, put you in an angle. They'd have to resolve it. There are some classic ones. One of the very best is, I think it actually happens at the first debut of the NWO.
Yeah.
Someone runs the ring in fury at that to try and get at Hogan, and that is a brutal pasting. and that was just what we saw.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Can you imagine the rest.
Yeah.
You then get DX, Degeneration X, put in the Hall of Fame. Slightly Triple H's way of getting a ring without having to go, I put myself in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
He puts everyone else in there. Also, he doesn't want to have retired.
Right.
By and large, most people in the Hall of Fame have retired. Mm. They might come back for a year, but they're very much as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Triple H not ready for that.
No.
Triple H very much a... legitimate, still current legend, still able to perform at a top level with anyone who dares to cross his path.
For half an hour.
They a couple of interesting things they did here. It was the return of China back into the WWE timeline, if you like. She obviously had left and then had a career which I think was very at odds with WWE's values.
Mm.
And the idea that WWE has values. We've just done the Crown Jewels show. And Billy Gunn at this time was in AEW. They had to actually get a little bit of permission for him to appear. This really absolutely bangs home that DX, apart from in the brief period in 1988 to 1999 during the Attitude Era, they are beyond fucking awful. They come out with, like, in the speech, they're all doing dick jokes and prop jokes and stuff, and they have this sort of, like, we are uncontrollable rebels, and they are all Trump supporters. They are all at least 60. They look like the sort of men you see getting arrested because they have tried to go into Greg's without a mask.
Yes.
And the Greg's people have said, you can't come in, And they've gone, Magna Carta! Magna Carta! and Greg's have said that you're not going to do anything, you just have to leave.
Sean, your hat stinks.
Yeah.
Get out, it is a risk.
Yes, I know, this is a private business. No, it's owned by the serf and the man! And it just, they come out into the live bit at WrestleMania, in the live sort of hero things, and they make it all about themselves.
Yeah.
And they're running in front of fucking Honky Tonk Man, you know, making you crotch chopping, like high-fiving him and everything. The Honky Tonk Man is a legitimately much bigger star than Road Dogg ever was. And him having to sit there and go, this is fucking great, lads. This is
brilliant. Carry it on.
Look at this. Aren't you guys cool? Aren't you brilliant? It has a real feel of the boss bringing his mates down to a thing, and everyone else is having their Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Triple H is like, yeah, but this is actually about my mates, and you are adjuncts to me and the lads having a right fucking great
time. Yeah, it's a day at the races. It's lads you'd see at the races.
Exactly that. It's entirely not what the Hall of Fame should be about.
Yeah.
There is a part of me that goes, they did this to Honky Tonk Man because backstage he's loathed. They did this because Brutus Barber Beefcake, they're like, he's a joke. They're Harlem Heat, they're like, Stevie Ray, Booker's getting his second one. He's already had one. It doesn't matter. Bret Hart, he's had one. So, you
know, can't even stand up.
Nobody needs this. You know, the only person there who is like, you'd sort of go, that's ruined it a bit, is Tori Wilson, and they're going, she wasn't even a wrestler. And I think it's just a really disrespectful Hall of Fame that I loathe and detest. And if I was Bret Hart, I would have raced in, I would have punched Shawn Michaels, I would have gone, that's for fucking 1998, you twat. Man, and I would have used the Hall of Fame ring to really get him on the bridge of the nose.
Well, that's the end of part of WrestleMania 35.
It is. Look, hey, we are, I would say, a fifth of the way through. Jesus fucking Christ.
Had fun, though.
Until next time. Mm. By the way, if you do want to hear more wrestling, I mean, who wouldn't?
Yes.
You know, especially if, you know, you've just, like us, Pete, watched 7.5 hours of it. why not go over to our Patreon?
Yeah.
It really is the future. That is going to be our new catchphrase about
it. It really is the future.
It really is the future.
And if you like to buy a T-shirt with it, the rest of me, Patreon, it really is the future.
We also, the word really is bigger because we've designed it badly. It really is the future.
And we've got confused. We've written really, and it kind of looks like the word, like the Interrail logo. Yeah. It's just confusing.
The future has two O's instead of a U, but only on the second a
Future.
U.
Future. The future.
Until next time. We will see you soon.
Are you on your papers like you're a newsreader?
I do feel like a newsreader. And this is the news, Peter. WrestleMe's over. Bye-bye.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.